Bond Street Church was the name of the church that I attended as a kid in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This church name communicated about as much to Grand Rapids folk as Fox Valley Unitarian Universalist Fellowship communicates to people around here, which is basically nothing. Most people around here have no clue what Unitarian means. They may have a vague sense of what Universalist means, but at least those who are middle-aged, often they kind of have it confused with Unification Church. Even now, more common in the about 10, 20 years ago, but I'd say Unitarian Universalist, and they'd look at me, and I'd say, not the Moonies. Well, because my childhood church was a large one, some people in Grand Rapids knew a little bit about it, and what they knew was not good, generally. Our senior minister had a great name, Duncan Littlefair, so often people would call him Duncan Little Faith. Very clever. Sometimes, though, most times, really, people I would share, that's where I go to church, would say, well, what's that? What kind of a church is that? And I had a ready answer that I imagined would immediately enlighten them. It's a liberal, non-denominational church. I'd say, I'm a liberal, non-denominational kid. What does that mean? Then I was in trouble because I didn't know. So fast forward to the age of 18, I flew the nest, went 1,000 miles away to college on the coast of Maine, and of course there were not any liberal non-denominational churches in the college town I went to. I don't know that there's really any others in the United States besides Fountain Street Church. And anyway, what was a liberal non-denominational college kid supposed to do? The senior minister of Fountain Street Church, before I left, suggested that I check out the Unitarian Universalist congregation. He said, that'll be the closest. The emeritus senior minister told me, go to the United Church of Christ Church. Actually, go anywhere, but don't go to the Unitarian Universalist Church. They're stupid and rigid. Actually, he didn't say the last part, but his tone communicated that, so that's what I heard. Well, I checked out the Unitarian Universalist Church anyway. In fact, I got a job as a custodian there. And I did not like it. The congregation seemed impossibly small. The services were dry and too heady, especially for someone who spent most of the week in classes and doing homework. I did not need another college lecture. So I tried the UCC church in town. Too Christian for me, too old in terms of the members of the congregation. So during my college years, I was basically a nun, N-O-N-E. Maybe that was a good thing, because Saturday nights tended to go late. But then a funny thing happened. I got really interested in religion, other people's religion, especially Hinduism and Buddhism. So I became a religion major, I studied in Sri Lanka for a semester, and I jumped onto this path of becoming a world religions college professor. But in Sri Lanka, I had an epiphany where I realized, my gosh, religion really matters to these people I'm studying, like it used to matter to me when I was a liberal non-denominational kid. A second pathway opened up to become a minister. Then I could do rather than study religion. But if I went that route, what denomination would I be? I didn't know. So after college, I decided to enroll at the University of Chicago Divinity School. They gave me a good deal financially, but even better, I had a few years to decide whether I wanted to be a professor or a minister, and what religion or denomination I wanted to affiliate with. So I took classes in ministry studies, I took classes in world religions, I studied a South Asian language, I worked in a UCC church, I worked in a UU congregation, I experimented. And the next two epiphanies actually weren't technically epiphanies. My dictionary defines epiphany as a sudden intuitive perception or insight. And there was nothing sudden about these things. It was more like a gradual dawning realization deep down inside. I can't even pin down exactly what month or season these decisions came, these realizations came. What I came to know inside sometime during these 2 years there was that I wanted to be a minister and I wanted to be a Unitarian Universalist. And so my transition in religious identity from liberal non-denominational to none to Unitarian Universalist was complete. That's my conversion story. After 2 years of graduate school, I took a year off and did a ministerial internship in a UU congregation. I took a second year off and worked as a chaplain in an addiction treatment center and as a quarter-time first-ever minister of a small UU congregation in Indiana. And happily, these 2 years really confirmed my path. So I went back to the University of Chicago for the last year of divinity school, and then I became the first settled minister of a small fellowship somewhere up north in Wisconsin. So for 27 years, I've been saying to myself and aloud, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. So what do I mean when I say that? First, it means that I am rooted in the Unitarian Universalist tradition, in its history, in its story. The ancient heretic Arius and Michael Servetus, Francis David, Joseph Priestley, Olympia Brown, Susan B. Anthony, Ralph Waldo Emerson, these are all spiritual ancestors for me. And though my Unitarian Universalist faith continues to evolve, this faith I've embraced is not something brand new. It's something that's been around for centuries. It's tested. I honor my spiritual ancestors, and I also acknowledge their imperfections. In our country, for example, too many of our UU ancestors stood by passively or even participated in slavery and the subjugation of women and genocide against the native peoples of this continent. And so I own my religious heritage, all of it, the good and the bad. When we light this chalice at the start of each service, I think about these ancestors, their triumphs, and their failures. The chalice reminds me that this faith I love is worthy of devotion and sacrifice. Some of these ancestors paid the ultimate price for being Unitarian Universalist. They died in prison for their beliefs, or were even executed. This reminds me that this faith is not something trivial. It's something so important, so urgent, so impactful that it is worthy of amazing sacrifice. It is worthy of giving our hearts to. The second thing, saying I'm a Unitarian Universalist means that I embrace the central principles of our faith. I believe in the inherent dignity and worth of all people. I believe in the interdependence of all life. I believe in the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. I believe that life in the here and now is what matters, not some afterlife. I believe that heaven and hell can be found right here, right now, so I try to recognize heaven around, and I try to do my little part to bring at least a slice of paradise to life here on earth. I believe in love, which maybe says it all. The third thing, saying I'm a Unitarian Universalist means that I put a primacy on spiritual community. Humans, we can be worse together. There's plenty of evidence of that. But when we are thoughtful and intentional in our spiritual communities, we can be better together. I know I am better in the spiritual company of others than trying to go it alone. Spiritual community is not optional for me. It's mandatory if I'm going to be the best, the most complete Roger I can possibly be. I need a place where, and words that just got me every time I heard Marla read it this weekend, where people see me as whole, even in my brokenness. Where people see me as holy, even my base self. Where people see me as precious, even when I feel unlovable. That's what community is. And related to my appreciation for our UU tradition and history, I understand my Unitarian Universalist community to be broader than you, than this fellowship, to encompass all the Unitarian Universalists around the planet. This is part of why I'm so passionate about our fellowship's international partnerships with congregations in Transylvania and in the Philippines. In our Transylvanian partnership, we have encountered some of the most important roots of Unitarian Universalism that go back 100 or 500 years. And we also found some of our own fellowship's heritage. One of the 9 founding members of our fellowship was married to arguably the most important Unitarian minister in Transylvania since the founder, Francis David, 500 years ago. And none of us knew that. In our Philippines partnership, we have found living proof that our faith does not work just for North Americans, not just for white people, not just for people of economic means. And even more importantly, in both places, we have found sisters and brothers in faith. Sure, their version of our faith looks and feels and sounds different from ours in many, many ways, just like their cultures are different from ours. But underlying those beautiful differences, there is a oneness, a wholeness that is a sight to behold. And then fourth, saying that I'm Unitarian Universalist means that I believe my spiritual understandings are always evolving. As a UU, I think I'm required to always subject my faith, my beliefs, to the illumination of new experiences, to new thoughts, new feelings, to conversation with my fellow travelers. The faith of a Unitarian Universalist is never complete. It is always a work in progress. Well, sometimes when I share I am a Unitarian Universalist and talk about what this means to me, this identity, I get the response, which I bet a lot of you have, well, that's not a faith. That's not a religion. Typically, such people have a pretty narrow understanding of what defines a faith, namely, their faith. I find myself these days less willing to engage in that debate. It seems like a debate that never really gets anywhere. It's seldom even slightly illuminating to them or to me. I'm more inclined these days, then, to respond either literally or in a diplomatic way, whatever. Because in a fundamental way, I don't really care whether someone else defines Unitarian Universalism as a faith or not. Whether they do or not does not change my faith one bit. But occasionally, I jump in anyway. And what I say then is that for me, faith is not a particular set of beliefs. It's about giving your heart to something greater than you. It's about being part of a spiritual community. It's about having your life transformed. For me, Unitarian Universalism completely fits this understanding of faith. So I'm saying I think it's a faith. However you answer the question of whether Unitarian Universalism is a faith, and some people here don't want to own that word, that's fine. What I hope is that you will treasure this spiritual tradition we have. And not just this fellowship, but our faith, broadly understood. Unitarian Universalism needs and deserves our deep care and attention. Last week I heard from the Congregational Giving Director at the UU Association the unfortunate but not surprising news that once again Unitarian Universalists across the country are at the bottom of giving to their congregations. This means that every other faith in the United States supports their congregation financially more generously than Unitarian Universalists. And this isn't because we're at the bottom of the income list, actually. Even though, I'm very thankful we have more economic diversity today than we've ever had, and yet we still are near the top in terms of per capita income. So why don't Unitarian Universalists across this country more generously support their congregations? Is it that we're busy supporting other causes with our money? Well, the evidence kind of shows that we don't really give elsewhere enough to explain our low giving rates in our congregations. Maybe it's the absence of the fear of hell. Well, most mainline Christians these days don't really think they're going to go to hell if they don't adequately support their congregation. So I don't think that one works either. So why do we Unitarian Universalists, collectively speaking, give so little? My latest theory is that too often we simply take our Unitarian Universalist congregations for granted. Maybe it's because our spirituality and our spiritual practices often are, frankly, not as deep as other faiths. And perhaps one consequence of this is that we don't live our faith or anything else with intentionality. And living less intentionally opens the door to taking things for granted. So what I want to say today is to look around. Look at this fellowship. Look deeper at the faith. And explore what it means to you, those who have been here, what it means to you, how it has impacted your life. Yesterday I had a conversation with a number of people here, and I asked each one of them to share one way that the fellowship and our UU faith has made a difference in their lives. Man, it was an amazing testimony as we went around the room. Testimony is a word that makes us nervous too, but it really was, because it was a testament to the power of this faith and this fellowship in their lives. So I'm convinced that if you deeply reflect on the meaning of this fellowship and this Unitarian Universalist faith, most of you will really want to cherish and treasure it. I know I want to, and I try to translate that into words and actions. And one of the ways I do that is through my financial support. For me, it is an exercise in gratitude and in love. It's not a burden, but it's a joy. And I feel blessed to be able to do it. Shortly after I arrived here in 1990, I did a sermon on Olympia Brown, the first woman ordained to the ministry by a denomination in the United States. She was a Universalist. She spoke some words in 1920 at the age of 85 at the Church of the Good Shepherd, the Universalist Church in Racine. She served that church as minister from 1878 to 1887. So here she returns, so, you know, decades later, 1920, 85 years old. Her sermon title that day was The Opening Doors. It's a beautiful, beautiful title. And the sermon, which I imagine was her last one in Racine, she gave this beautiful ending to the sermon, encouraging the people there to work for this faith, to sacrifice for it. I love the words. I love also that she includes a reference to God, not as a he or a she, but an it. So here are those words. Stand by this faith. Work for it and sacrifice for it. There is nothing in the world as important as to be loyal to this faith, which has placed before you the loftiest ideals, which has comforted us in sorrow, strengthened us for noble duty, and made the world beautiful. Do not demand immediate results, but rejoice that we are worthy to be entrusted with this great message, that we are strong enough to work for a great, true principle without counting the cost. Go on finding ever new applications of these truths and new enjoyments in their contemplation, always trusting in the one God which ever lives and loves. Amazing words to ponder.